I'd like to call to order the Higher Education Policy and Finance Committee. And we do have a quorum. First order of business would be the minutes from our April 8th meeting. I need a motion.
Mr. Chair, I move minutes.
All right, Representative Christensen moves minutes from April the 8th. Any discussion? Hearing none, all those in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Minutes are adopted. Seems like a long time ago, back in January, but here we are, ready to really, this is the exciting part of what we do, right? All comes down to this, right. And we're not finished yet, but I'd like to thank everybody, members, staff, everyone that's got us to this level of this point. So today we're going to deal with House File 845. And simply a walk through. Tomorrow we'll be looking at amendments and the bill. So, are there any questions before we proceed? We got started a little late. We'll see if we can pick up the tempo to make up for it. Just like in the airlines, we'll just get a couple engines going and we'll set a record.
Thank you,
so,
Mr. Chair.
Yes, Representative Rosen.
For any testimony.
We will have some people testifying. I'm not sure that, for example, Office of Higher Education will be here a little later. If there's a point where we need to do that, I guess we can make an exception. But our intent is not to as much as possible.
Thank you.
Oh, sure. So I'll officially move. Okay, we've got to get the right. Before we get to the actual walkthrough, I need to move House File or the DE4 amendment. Any questions? This puts the bill into the form that we would like to have it today. Hearing none, all those in favor of the DE4 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Okay. We're now dealing with the DE4 amendment to House File 845. But, yeah, okay. Sean, I think is up first. What's that?
Mr. Chair and members, Ken Savory, House Fiscal Analysis. I'll be assisted by Mr. Guerin and Mr. Williams. We'll be working from two documents for the next 10 to 15 minutes or so, one being the spreadsheet that I believe is in your packets, the second being the DE4 itself, which I believe is also in your packets. My plan from the fiscal side will be to walk through just the handful of change items that are located on the spreadsheet and in the bill, and then I'll turn it over periodically to Mr. Williams and Mr. Guerin for comments about that language, and then turn over them fully for proceedings related to the policy items. I'd like to begin with the Office of Higher Education. If you look at lines 15, 16, 17, and 18 on the spreadsheet, you'll see the State Grant Program Appropriation Authority, meaning the State Grant Appropriation. You'll see the underspending in the grant program, meaning the money left over that is unallocated. And then you will see the change item in the bill, which is a reduction of $53 million over the 16 and 17 biennium. And if you refer down to line 35, that would be the new appropriation which is in the bill for the state grant program. That would be $150,281,000 in fiscal year 16 and the same number in fiscal year 17 for a total of $300,562,000 in 16 and 17. You'll flip the page once more. To line 49, you'll see an interchange item related to OHE. Line 49 is the Teacher Shortage Loan Forgiveness Program. It is appropriated at $590,000 in fiscal year 16 and $565,000 in fiscal year 17 for a total of $1.155 million for 16 and 17. And I will have Sean Williams walk you through any particular policy items you'd like to discuss in these appropriations for OHE.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So if
The appropriations for the Office of Higher Education start on line 17 on page 1 of the DE4 amendment. You can see the state grant appropriation line is $150,281,000 in both years of the biennium, as Mr. Savory mentioned. If you flip to page 2 on lines 4 through 9, you'll see the language that sets the tuition maximum for 2- and 4-year colleges at the same levels that they were at in the previous biennium. There's also a drafting error on line 2.9 establishing the living and miscellaneous expense at $84.90, and it's my understanding that there will be a technical amendment offered tomorrow to return that to the level that it was at in the previous biennium, which is $7,900. The next new item, other than sort of standard riders that have been in the bill in previous years, is on page 4, line 19. That appropriates money for the Teacher Shortage Loan Forgiveness Program, which is established, which Mr. Savory mentioned is a new item in the bill this year. And that pretty much covers all of the new items in the Office of Higher Education portion of the bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'll move now to the MNSCU portion of the bill. If you look at lines 84, 85, 86, 87, and 88 on the spreadsheet, you'll see a line number 84 entitled Tuition Freeze. That'll be $36 million in fiscal year 16 and $64.7 million in fiscal year 17 for a total of $100 million, $700,000 in 16 and 17 for a tuition freeze at the colleges in both years of the biennium, and a freeze in the second year of the four-year universities in fiscal year 17. Down one line to line 85 is the tuition reduction. This would reduce college tuition in the second year of the biennium, so fiscal year 17. The cost of that is $4.3 million for the biennium. Additionally, on line 86 is the next three are one-time appropriations. You'll see the online reporting system for the sexual assault portion of the policy in the bill funded at $100,000. You'll see the line 87, the Baccalaureate Degree Pathways Program, at $115,000. And then the year-long student teaching pilot program at $100,000 for the biennium. And then I'll turn over to Mr. Williams or Mr. Gehring to discuss the appropriations further.
So, Mr. Chair, members, the actual rider language for the change items that Mr. Savory just mentioned are in the DE4 amendment starting on page 5. All of the new policy items for MNSCU are included within the existing operations and maintenance appropriation for the system. So lines 5.25 through lines 6.11 reflect the language that would implement the tuition freeze and reduction. So as Mr. Savory mentioned, there would be a freeze on the tuition rate in the second year for four-year universities within the MNSCU system, and then at the two-year colleges, there would be a freeze in the first year and then 1% reduction in the second year. On line 5.32, you'll see that there is a cap on tuition increases in the first year at universities at no more than 3% over the 2014-15 academic year rate, and then whatever that number would be in the coming academic year would then be frozen in the subsequent year. Following the tuition freeze language is the new rider language related to the other policy items that are new in this bill. On line 6.12 to 6.26 is the appropriation related to the teacher preparation grant pilot program. This is Representative Erdahl's bill. Line 6.27 to 6.30 is the baccalaureate degree pathways appropriation. So there's a $115,000 appropriation for that item, which is Representative Heintzman's bill. Line 6.31 to 6.34 is an appropriation to implement the sexual assault policy and reporting requirements that are contained in Representative O'Neill's bill. That policy language, in addition to all the other new items here, are also included in statutory language in later articles in this amendment. And then additionally on page 7 appears as new policy, but this is existing rider language related to a transfer that MNSCU provides to the Cook County Higher Education Board.
Mr. Chair, now we'll cover the U of M section. If you'll turn your attention back to the spreadsheet, you'll see on line 96 through line 107 are the appropriations for the University of Minnesota. The bill does not change the appropriations in any way from the base allocation. If you look down line on the spreadsheet, lines 109 through 115, are the system specials listed within the bill. Those are unchanged from the 2013 omnibus bill. And you'll see on line 17 the total UVM general fund and O&M special total for the DE4. I will turn that over now to Mr. Gehring to discuss the UVM section.
So, Mr. Chair, in the DE4 amendment, you can find the rider language for the University of Minnesota starting on page 7, line 7.14. The total appropriation, as you can see, is $601,106,000 in each year of the biennium. This is consistent with the base appropriation for the system. There's no new items of spending for the university in this draft of the bill. The operation maintenance appropriation is on 7.24. This is the bulk of the money that goes to the university for various purposes. And then following that, there's a number of special appropriations, as Mr. Savory mentioned. Each of these appropriations are for specific purposes that we can answer questions about if members have questions about them, but reflect sort of standard rider language that's been in the bill in the past. And as Mr. Savory mentioned again, there's no new items of policy or appropriation in this portion of the bill.
And, Mr. Chair, members, that concludes the fiscal changes to the bill. I'll turn it over to Mr. Williams to discuss Article 2, which contains the policies, i.e. the bills that were included into this draft.
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, the policy section of the bill in Article 2 begins on page 12, line 9. The first piece of policy is House File 384. That's Representative Erdahl's bill establishing a year-long student teaching program. That policy continues through page 15. Section 2 of the bill is the next piece of policy in the bill. That's the Teacher Shortage Loan Forgiveness Program. That's House File 1170, which is Representative Bennett's bill. That policy continues through Section 3, which is on page 17, line 3. That's Representative Erdahl's language as well. So page 17, line 18, that's the baccalaureate degree pathways bill. That's Representative Heintzman's bill, House File 1996. Starting on the top of page 18, line 1, that's Representative Norton's bill, House File 1517. The portion relating to the MNCU system starts on page or on line 1, and the portion relating to the University of Minnesota system starts on line 33. And finally, the last piece of policy in the bill starts on page 19, line 30. That's Representative O'Neill's bill dealing with sexual assault on college campuses, and that comprises the entirety of Article 3.
And I would mention, Mr. Chair, that the appropriation to the Mayo has remained unchanged from the prior bill in 2013. Just one cleanup item.
And Mr. Chair, I think that's all we have.
Okay. Well, thank
Happy
you very
to
much.
Questions.
Now, questions? Comments? Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a quick clarification. The MnDrive component of the U of M, I went to go visit that, and I just don't see that as an individual item. Do you know where that is contained?
Mr. Chair and Representative O'Neill, that would be now base funding, so that would be in the O&M allocation.
Other questions?
Just a follow-up.
Representative O'Neill.
Do we have a breakdown of the O&M funding as well for the U of M?
Mr. Chair and members, I do not have that at the time, but I can work to get that for you if you think that would be appropriate.
I think myself, a few of the Republican members would like to just see a little bit more of a breakdown, if you have that.
I don't personally have it, but I can certainly reach out to the university and see what I can obtain.
Thank you.
Representative McDonald.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I was wondering if staff could just touch on the state grant surplus reallocations of those and clarify or just maybe go in a little bit more in depth on that.
Sabre.
And what page on the bill would that be?
Representative
Mr. Chairman, members, if you look at line 1.23 on the DE4, you'll see the state grant appropriation at $150,281,000 per the biennium, or per each portion of the biennium. And then you will see on line 35 on the spreadsheet the corresponding number from the bill. So that would represent the reduction of $53 million for the biennium coming from the program, and then that ending up in the bill.
Okay, thanks, Mr. Chair. So that ends up in the bill, and the reallocating that, Mr. Chair, and forgive me if I don't know, where is that particularly being reallocated? And how does that change the dynamics of that grant system? I don't know if that is that a legitimate question.
Yeah, it is. It doesn't change the program. It just changes the amount of funding that they're working with. It doesn't alter anything. Unless we choose to do something, but right now the bill doesn't do anything more than just continue the program with the current amount plus about $20 million in surplus. So I don't know if that answers the question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. It did, yes. Yeah, thank you.
And we'll have Commissioner Polkemiller here, if he isn't here already. You could address the question to him, too, at that time.
All right.
Oh, Mr. Faber.
And just to clarify, Mr. Chair and members, the committee has spent up to its target. That was a lot about Ways and Means, and that additional money was then put on to Minsky, or was given to Minsky, or appropriated to Minsky for the tuition freeze. So that's where that reduction would go in the bill. It's simply moving money from one part of the budget area to another part of the budget area.
Okay. Anyone else? Representative Grunhagen.
Oh, thank you, Ms. Chair. So my understanding is the University of Minnesota is not, their tuition is not frozen under this proposal. Is that correct?
That's correct.
And then have you heard from the university as far as what their intention is in terms of raising tuition, or are they going to make adjustments to their current program to keep tuition at the current level?
I have not talked to them directly about that. Others may have. My indication, or I guess my assumption, would be they would look at a tuition increase of some kind, modestly, hopefully. But I don't know if anyone else, is there someone here from the U here to comment?
Oh, here he comes.
We'll get an answer for you, Representative Grunhagen. Welcome to the committee, and state your name for the record, please.
Mr. Chair, Representative Pierre Ouellette with the University of Minnesota. I believe the proposals that I've read from the university published would be a likely 2 or 3% increase.
Each year?
Each year, yeah.
Representative Grunhagen.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a follow-up question. I was emailed an article right before the meeting here, and it title of it was The Real Reason College Tuition Costs cost so much. And it's interesting, they basically said that if vehicle cost would have gone up as much as, you know, buying a new car would have gone up in the last three decades as much as the cost of higher ed, a new car would cost about $80,000. Okay, I didn't think about that. And I know higher ed is one of the greatest escalations of cost in our society, higher than energy, even health care, according to the articles I've read. It goes on to say that it isn't the faculty so much as it is the increase in administrative positions, and that the universities grew, this is a general study, grew between 1993 and 2009, they grew their administration by 60% on average. Now, I know we've had articles about the University of Minnesota that seem to implicate, whether it was the Wall Street Journal or other articles. Is there any plans, as far as you know, with the university to reduce administration and freeze the tuition for students?
Oh, go ahead. Mr. Chair, Representative Grunhagen, I know that there have the university in the last 4 years has been through a pretty exhaustive process on reducing administrative costs throughout the campuses, not just in Minneapolis and others. The question we may want to ask is, what are they doing with the savings? Are they reinvesting it into other parts of the university, which is currently the university's policy? But they have been working through that the last 4 years, and I could certainly get you a lot of specifics on that if that's something you'd like.
Representative Grunhagen.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thanks for that response. We did discuss some of those savings, and it seemed hard to pin down where the savings actually were in previous discussions. And I guess I would be interested, I think maybe some of the rest of the committee members, that if we have time for an informational meeting with the university to kind of focus in on this area as it relates to student costs in the upcoming biennium, and what percentage they are thinking of increasing it, Mr. Chair. And I'm talking about when we have nothing else to do.
We will consider that.
I guess I'd make that request because I guess I'd like to vet some of those savings and where they're projecting the savings, and we never did seem to get a clear enough answer for the average committee member.
Representative Grunhagen, if we don't have a chance to do that before the end of this session, we will have time again next year, if not before.
Okay,
so
thank you,
I was just thinking of your analogy between a car and say, the university. The difference, in my opinion, is that the car will depreciate. I've got a car that sold for $65,000 new. I paid $2,500 for it, where a university degree will get better and more valuable with time. So, if that makes any sense, hopefully.
Thanks, Ms. I still think it's a little bit high.
Yeah, I agree. Any other questions?
Thank you, Mr.
Thank you very much. Yeah. Oh, I'm sorry, Representative Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Ouellette, so you said 2-3% each year. Do you have a dollar amount?
I don't, but I could certainly get that to you.
By tomorrow?
Certain. Later today.
Thank you.
Okay. Very good. That's quick. Okay. Okay, we have another question. Representative Barrett.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think I have an answer for Representative Winkler. I think their undergraduate resident tuition is $12,000, so 2-3% of that would be between $240 and $360 per resident undergraduate. Of course, it'd be more. It'd be more if you're, let's say, non-resident undergraduate. It's $21,000 right now, which is pretty low. It doesn't seem low, but it's low compared to other schools. So that would be higher, of course, if you're a non-resident. The increase would be more.
Mr. Chair, of course, that doesn't
Representative Winkler.
Include all the graduate students. As well. And so what I'm looking for, just to be clear, is an aggregate number, not a per person or per credit or per semester or anything like that, but the total revenue that the University of Minnesota would collect from students through tuition increases under this proposal. Thank you.
Got that? Okay. Oh. Hang in there. Representative, let's see, Gene Pawlowski.
Bud Norness. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
You're welcome. Proceed. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair, has the university taken a position on this bill? And if so, what is it?
Mr. Chair, Representative Pawlowski, of course the university would love to have seen funding for their tuition freeze as well in this bill. And So I'm sure you'll be hearing from other university folks about this, about that we would like to have seen funding for both MinSCU and the university's tuition freeze in this bill.
Representative Pawlowski.
Representative Norness, Chair Norness. My question would be this. Has the university taken a position on this budget, either at the administrative level, or have the regions taken a position on this budget? The second part of the question is vastly more difficult than the first.
Sir, I need to clarify your last name.
It's Pierre Ouellette.
Ouellette. Okay.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Proceed.
Representative Pawlowski, I don't know the exact answer to that. I know that the university's regents have taken a position on the university's position of asking the legislature for funds for a tuition freeze?
Mr. Chair,
Mr. Willett, they took a position on a budget that was presented to this committee. They requested funding at 3.3%, a tuition freeze. They requested significantly other dollars. None of those dollars are in this bill. So they took a position when they asked for money. When they didn't get it, there's silence. Mr. Willett?
No, Mr. Chair, Representative Pawlowski, I believe they would say that they're opposed to this bill and would have liked to have seen funding for their funding as well.
Thank you.
Representative Rosenthal.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Willett, just to follow up on Representative Pawlowski's, if they're opposed to the bill, why aren't they here today advocating for more or for what they want or for what they need or for cutting tuition for kids?
Mr. Will.
Mr. Chair, Representative Rosenthal, I think that's what I'm doing here today, and certainly you'll be hearing from them as the weeks move forward.
Your follow-up. Okay. Representative Norton.
Thank you, and as long as people are asking about positions, I one of the areas that was really interesting to me and that many of us have had interest in was the research request, which I think was $50 million for this grand research proposal. And some of us had hoped perhaps at the end of the day, knowing we have many bills asking for research in different areas, some of whom are in the room today and some of them are not, that maybe that could have been rolled in somehow into the university's research concepts. And I'm not hearing concern about that either, and so it would be helpful to me to know how the university feels about the lack of the $50 million in research, and if they don't need $50 million, what do they need? And as we all struggle with how we might fund Alzheimer's and spinal cord injury research, how we might work with you to see that that happens as well.
Mr. Willett.
Thank you. I will deliver that message.
Representative Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Mr. Jay, I guess the question, just for clarification, your intention is tomorrow that there will be testimony on the bill. Today was not really intended for testimony.
Today would be when we would probably have intended for testimony. Anybody that's here is able to testify if they care to. I don't know if that message was made clear. Tomorrow we'll actually be working on the bill with amendments. Go for it.
Mr. Chair, I was a bit confused, and yeah. I think the committee is a little bit uncertain about what the plan was. I guess I wonder if the University of Minnesota understood that today was the only day to testify against a bill that leaves their funding flat.
Mr. Chair, Representative Winkler, yeah, we did not believe that they were going to take testimony today, or we would arrange to have folks here. We can certainly do that in the future if there is time.
And I think tomorrow, if there are someone that want to testify, we move forward. I mean, that's how I'd see it. Okay.
Thank you.
All right. If you get up, we're going to have another question, so you might want to just say it. I think that probably covers it for you.
Thank you.
Thank you very much, Mr. Willett. Any other questions? We have a couple of testifiers. Okay. Is Kaylee Schoonmaker here? Did I get that name right? Schoonmaker. Oh, Schoonmaker.
Schoonmaker.
Okay. Welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair.
And state your name clearly so I can hear it.
Yes.
And then proceed.
Yeah, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, for the record, my name is Kaylee Schoonmaker. I'm the president of the Minnesota State College Student Association, and I'm a student at Century College and St. Paul College. Mm-hmm. So we just want to start off by thanking you, Representative Nornes, and all members of the committee who have heard our pleas for protecting our students from tuition increases, and in this bill, even cutting tuition. So we also want to thank Governor Dayton for full funding of the Minsky request. We're very appreciative of that. I've said it before, our students pay the third highest tuition fees in the country, and any further increases could really have discouraged students from attending and caused them to take fewer credits due to having to work increased hours to pay for the funding, to pay for the tuition. We have students in every corner of the state, and many of them are not able to move around for school, and so they choose their local community or technical college. And with the need for a well-trained workforce increasing every year, keeping our campuses affordable and quality will be a key in meeting these important needs for our workforce. Our top priority all session has been to improve affordability for students, and we want to say that we're also thankful that our number two priority is addressed in this bill, which is the seamless transfer pathway. Once these pathways are completed, much if not all of the guesswork will be removed from credit transfer system, and students will have more clear and transparent transfer options, getting them into the workforce faster and saving them time and money. We're also very pleased to see the inclusion of language aimed at improving the reporting, communication, and training on campuses around sexual violence. Safety on campus is crucial to the academic success of students, and we believe the language will help ensure students can feel safe at all times. As the budget process moves forward, we look forward to working to increase the target for this committee so we can make other important higher education-related investments that will benefit students. We hope we can get as close to the governor's proposal as possible, but we want to reiterate our gratitude, our sincere gratitude, for the effort to prioritize the needs of our students and campuses that you all have addressed in your bill. We're very appreciative of that, and we can't say that enough. So thank you very much to all of you, and I'd be happy to stand if you have any questions.
Any questions? Representative Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Schoonmaker?
Yes,
okay.
Thank you.
So, Ms. Schoonmaker, you represent the two-year students?
That's right.
And what is the, does the, your organization have a position on having a tuition freeze and a tuition reduction for two-year students, but not for the four-year Minsky students?
Mr. Chair, Representative Winkler, our association has taken the position, has agreed to support the $142 million request from Minsky to have a two-year tuition freeze. Our top priority is affordability for students, so I definitely can't say we'd be opposed to a tuition cut. You know, our students would love that. Our students would sincerely benefit from that. But our association does support the funding request by Minsky, the $142 to freeze tuition.
Representative Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. Schoonmaker, are you aware that the bill funds a tuition freeze for two-year schools but not for the four-year Minsky schools? And does your organization fund support a bill that treats the two different schools differently?
Mr. Chair, Representative Winkler, we do represent the two-year students, so they are our priority. But we actually don't have a position on this bill. We wanted to express our gratitude and say that we definitely support the ideas of increasing affordability, but we stand by our position on the 142 and the governor's proposal.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Any other questions? Representative Pawlowski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Has your organization taken a position on where the money is coming from in this bill? Approximately half of the funding is coming from moving money from the grant program?
Mr. Chair, Representative Pawlowski, I don't believe I can answer that question right now.
Mr. Chair?
Representative Pawlowski.
Do you know if your organization will take a position on where the money is coming from that freezes your tuition and lowers it 1% in the second year, considering it is coming from a program that your students benefit from?
Mr. Chair, Representative Pawlowski, our students believe that the best form of financial aid is lower tuition because it benefits every single one of our students, whereas the grant program doesn't. But we definitely support the grant program, and I'll take that back to my association, and I'll let you know if we have anything more to say.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Pawlowski.
Mr. Chair, I'm very sympathetic because in 2013, we were the first committee that actually had the lowering, freezing of tuition for all of the systems, both the University of Minnesota, the two-year, and the four-year. So I'm very familiar with it. We also did not take it from other sources that were accessible to the students. I would hope your organization would take that into consideration. You don't have to answer that.
Well, right. Mr. Chair, Representative Pawlowski, I would say thank you very much for doing that. We do appreciate that.
Okay, anyone else?
Thank you for being here, and thank you for your testimony.
Thank you.
Laura King is in the audience, would like to testify to us on our bill today.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members. My name is Laura King, and I'm the Vice Chancellor for Finance for the Minnesota State Colleges and Universities. Thank you for making time for me this afternoon, Mr. Chair. I appreciate it. And thank you as well for all your good work this season and the ease with which we've been able to work together. You've always had an open door, and you've been accessible to us, and we appreciate that. Chair Norris and members of the committee, we're very grateful for the work that went into this bill. In the overall context of the higher education target that you received, we appreciate it that you made Minnesota State Colleges and Universities, and particularly our two-year schools, a priority. Your proposal certainly aligns with the work that we've done and the commitment that you've seen in our proposal to access and affordability as the board's most critical priorities as we work to improve Minnesota's workforce and provide access for our students to that education. It's our hope that the conference committee targets will be higher. As you've heard, I think, from other speakers, we remain, on behalf of our board, here to communicate to you our commitment to the proposal that we presented, the $142 million proposal, and we remain quite delighted with the governor's support, which was structured in the same way as our proposal, so we're grateful for that. We hope that in the days ahead, we can work together and bring a good bill home for all of our students by the end of the season. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Representative Pulaski.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Vice Chancellor King, is there anything in this bill that would allow you to, you said at 142, maybe I should rephrase the question, what doesn't happen if the number stays at the number that is in this bill and you do not get 142? What don't you do that was in your budget? I'll start with that question first.
Ms. King.
Mr. Chair, Representative Pulaski, I think it's probably early days for me to be able to answer that question. We are just formulating an understanding of the bill, and we've had no conversations with either our board or our presidents as to, in the event this were the final results, how we would respond to it. We remain hopeful that we can work with you in the days ahead to improve the outcome.
Representative Pulaski.
Mr. Chair, Vice Chancellor King, you had difficulty in 2013 and 14 articulating how you were going to deal with funding the contracts that you're responsible for. So my question is, in this bill, given the number that you have and the way it's crafted with tuition, are you still going to have difficulty in funding contracts under this bill?
Mr. Chair, Representative Pulaski, you and I are probably going to forever have a difference of opinion about what my testimony was in 2013. In fact, I have it on the record that it was different than what I'm hearing here today. But I remain of the view that at this juncture, it's early days for me to respond to, in the event the board is faced with this choice, how they would respond. It's an imponderable for me at this juncture.
Representative Pulaski.
No, Mr. Chair, Vice Chancellor King, you had that same type of issue in 2013, and it took you from May of 2013 to May of 2014 to articulate it. I suggest you clarify it much sooner this session than you did last one.
No response needed. Representative Winkler.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. King, I have a kind of a challenging question for you. This bill essentially puts all of the money and then some because it takes from the state grant program into the MNSCU system. And I guess the question I have for you is whether MNSCU thinks it's in the best interest of higher education in Minnesota to zero out the University of Minnesota from funding.
Mr. Chair, Representative Winkler, I guess I can only repeat what I've said several times here. We're appreciative of the support that this bill has for higher education, and we hope that as we work ahead, we can increase the support for all of higher education.
Representative Winkler.
Mr. Chair, Ms. King, it sounds from your statement that the MNSCU does not have a position on this bill at this time.
Mr. Chair, President Winkler, that's correct. MNSCU's position is the board's recommendation.
Representative O'Neill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I think for the record, it's important for people listening to know that we're not exactly zeroing out funding for the U. I mean, if you look at the budget, it's the same as they got, what they got before, which was $1.2 billion. So that's not exactly zero, just for the record, since we're talking about a lot of things on the record today. So for those listening, the University of Minnesota is still getting $1.2 billion, not zero.
Anyone else? Thank you for being here, and we'll probably see you again soon.
Thank you.
Right now, I'd like to call down Commissioner Pogemiller. And I should point out to those watching, listening, and to the members, you know, we all like the state grant program. I don't think anybody here has anything against the state grant program, just for the record. So, Commissioner Pogemiller, welcome.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. And I think I'm supposed to mention that the governor this year is asking for the opportunity to have his commissioner speak on the bills and you afford, before they pass.
Sure.
And you've afforded us that opportunity, sure. And I know he appreciates that.
We appreciate you being here.
So, Mr. Chairman and members, based on the governor's budget, I think his general response to the proposal would be that your target is a little low. He's at $288 million. And you're at $53 million, and that I think he would say that at your target, your balance between higher ed sectors may not be exactly where it should be. Having said that, then on specifics, given the target that you do have to work with, which I know is not under the committee's total control, it's pretty clear that this proposal basically hits the revenue target for MinSCU. And the way you get there is $53 million from new spending, $53 million from a cut from the state grant, and then $33 million, roughly, from a tuition increase for the state universities. So that roughly gets to, that is $139 million, which is close to the $142 million that MinSCU asked for. So I guess it's kind of a partial tuition freeze. The governor's proposal, of course, pays for it in full. For the University of Minnesota, I think it's pretty obvious. The governor's in support of an investment for medical research preeminence at the university. That $30 million is not in this bill. And also for paying for a tuition freeze, which is also not in this bill. Then finally, I think it's obvious the governor is not supportive of the proposed $53 million reduction in the state grant, which impacts, as we all know, the neediest students in the state. He, as you know, actually asked for an additional $45 million. Above the base, and this bill reduces the base. Finally, there's two other positives in this proposal that I wanted to just recognize. One is the effort through the work I think that Representative Norton and others are working on the committee to recognize research-based strategies for improving retention and completion. As the two-year students just mentioned, that's the easier transfer of credits, the baccalaureate pathways, etc., and I think creation of applied sciences degrees, and some other language in the bill. It seems to make a lot of sense to encourage the university and MinSCU to focus on retention and completion because the numbers aren't where we'll need them to be. However, I would point out that I think recognizing that additional revenue for the institutions to do some work there is in order probably. And you do have some cutouts in your or carve-outs in your language, but I would argue that realistically, to do some of the things that you would like them to do on retention completion, you might want to consider additional investments in those activities. And finally, Representative O'Neill and others have been working on sexual assault on college campuses. I think that work is real positive. And so I think that outlines pretty much where I think the governor would be on the proposal right now. Stand for questions.
One clarification. You indicated we were cutting the base of the state grant program. I'm not quite sure how that's factored in, because we're not cutting the base plus there's $20 million in surplus. Are you counting the surplus as base?
Mr. Chairman, there's a direct appropriation amount, which, what's the number in current base law? 176,281. And your proposal literally cuts that base to generate over, and then you have to do it over 2 years, to generate the $53 million that you then move over to MinSCU. So the literal base that the program has now is reduced. There is a spending balance. Some people call it a surplus. I think that's a mischaracterization. There is a spending balance in the current appropriation based on law that gets eaten up pretty quickly if you do the LME amount that students are currently receiving. So I think it's kind of a confusing topic, but it's I think from the governor's perspective, it is a base cut in the state grant, and we could give you some estimates if you're interested in what that would impact, how that would impact individual grant receivers in the state. And it would affect, under the structure of the bill, as it currently stands, it would impact every grant recipient in the state. It would cut their LME allowance from what they're currently getting.
Mr. Savory, can you expand on that or clarify anything further?
Sure. Mr. Chair and members, just to clarify, Commissioner Pogamiller is correct in that there is a balance forward or a surplus, whatever terminology would be appropriate. I have that calculated at approximately $73 million. And remaining, if this proposal were to go forward, would be $20.9 million remaining in that estimate. So just to clarify what the remaining, essentially, balance forward would be, that would be it.
All right. Good. Any questions of the commissioner? Representative Plowski.
Commissioner Pogamiller, what is the total difference from the governor's proposal in your office to this bill? What's the total difference in money?
Commissioner?
If you factor in what was taken from it and what you didn't get, what's the total difference?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Plowski, you're talking about the state grant.
I'm talking about the state grant program. I'm not talking about the operational part of your program, but the state grant program is in your office. So.
Commissioner Pogamiller.
Okay, let me answer it and see if it's the way you're looking for me to count it. The governor has $45 million in the state grant over the current base. This proposal cuts the current base by $53 million, so if you add 45 and 53, that would give you the difference on the state grant between the governor's
right.
proposal and this proposal.
Mr. Chair, Commissioner, and that's the number I hope you'd come up with, would you consider that a successful bit of lobbying? You don't have to answer it. I'm just saying that this bill, just looking at your office and the grant program, would be an atrocious rendering of what was proposed to the legislature and now what's before us.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Pogamiller.
With as much respect as I can bring up right now, I don't think your agencies view themselves as lobbyists. I think your agencies view themselves as trying to offer to the legislature and the governor our best advice as to how to balance investments in post-secondary education. And I think the governor did have a balanced investment, $288 million, split between the institutional support and the state grant. And I think he would hope that by the end of the legislative session, the House and the Senate will choose to move to his both numbers and distribution.
Mr. Chair, whether we call you a lobbyist or an advocate, by any definition, what's happened here would be a significant failure for the part of the students that you advocate for.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Pogamiller, I'm sorry.
Mr. Chairman, be that as it may, I would point out that we advocated very strongly to lock in the LME last legislative session at the 8490. And if that had been done, there would not be that unexpended balance in the state grant program.
And Mr. Chair, Commissioner, there were reasons why it wasn't done, and clearly you understood those reasons. Whenever an agency comes before this body and asks for more authority, we take it very seriously. Secondly, there are already anomalies occurring in this program, and I would argue that one of the things we should have done this session was take a close look at the anomalies that are in the grant program and why that program is generating those types, whether you call it a surplus or an excess, whatever number you want to use, whatever title. So, Commissioner, there were good reasons why not to do it, and if you remember why we didn't do it. We wanted to see another enrollment period. That second enrollment period has dramatically increased this so-called surplus, and there are issues within this program that we need to consider very closely. You have, well, even if it's partial, frozen tuition. You have declining enrollment. You have a different scenario from the way this program was created. So, Commissioner, there were good reasons not to give an agency more authority, and I would hope the agencies would also realize that when they come and ask for more authority.
Mr. Chairman.
Commissioner Polkemiller.
Mr. Chairman, as I mentioned, our professionals in our office do the best they can to offer advice to policymakers, both legislators and governors, and the effort in the last 3 or 4 years is to try to rebuild the purchasing power of the state grant, which eroded dramatically in the previous decade. And I think that's what students care about, their purchasing power with regards to their post-secondary education. And until we can figure out a way, the executive branch and the legislative branch, to build in some protections from inflation, tuition increases, reduced incomes, students are at risk for that ability that they did have years ago in Minnesota to choose between their best fit institution. And that's, Mr. Chairman and Representative Plowski and other members, that's all we're trying to do, the professionals in our office, we're trying to advocate what's in the best interest of individual students.
Representative Grunhagen.
Oh, thank you, Mr. Chair. Commissioner Polkemiller, my question is, during your testimony, if I understood you correctly, because we made this shift, students are going to qualify for less aid? Did I understand that correctly, or?
Mr. Polkemiller?
Mr. Chairman, as I understand the explanation, you are going to set the number at 7,900.
Mr. Williams?
Mr. Chair and members of the committee, yes. I believe that the number is set at a different level in the draft bill due to a drafting error, but the expectation is to set it at 7,900, and the spreadsheet reflects that the number will be set at 7,900.
Right. So, Mr. Chairman, when the language is added to make it 7,900 for the LME, we estimate that for the 80,000 to 85,000 students that will be getting state grants, because it used to be about 100,000, it's been reduced because of enrollment declines. The average state grant will reduce almost $100 per student. And for full-time students, it's almost $300.
Representative Grunhagen?
I probably need to discuss that offline.
Okay. Any other questions, members?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman, for the courtesy. Appreciate it.
Well, thank you for being here.
Look forward to working with you.
You bet. Thanks. Members, any other questions? Hope you have your amendments ready. Yeah. Are there any testifiers here that would like to comment about the bill? One way or another? There is not. So, members, I don't want to keep you here all day. Quiet. So if there's no other questions, no other testifiers, then I will move that House File 845 be laid over. And we'll see you tomorrow.